So the Justice Department made the announcement yesterday, announcing 42 arrests in the United States, perhaps 72 warrants issued worldwide, at least a dozen people still at large in what they described as the largest child pornography ring ever broken up. Officially, they charged a private online club, called Dreamboard, with being essentially a nightmare, a horrific nightmare of child exploitation. And here to talk about what was accomplished in this sting, the obstacles to actually bringing in these arrests, and the nature of the Internet itself enabling this kind of behavior, we've got two investigators with us. David Finkelhor is director of the Crimes Against Children Research Center at the University of New Hampshire. He joins us from Scarborough, Maine. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
And Julian Schur is an investigative journalist with the Globe and Mail in Toronto and author of Caught in the Web and Somebody's Daughter. He joins us from Montreal, Canada. Julian, good morning.
Good morning.
First, Julian, what do you think the obstacles were to infiltrating this network on the part of federal investigators? What did they have to get through to actually, first of all, discover this behavior and then track the behavior of online accounts to actual individuals?
Well, discovering it is unfortunately not that hard because it's so rampant. The problem is infiltrating these groups. This is quite typical of the investigations that I followed because we know that this started as early as 2009. So it means it took at least 2 years for the police to be able to complete their investigation. And the good news is that what they're doing these days is using the same tricks that the predators would use against children. Because the Internet is anonymous, the police will either pretend to be somebody or often arrest or flip one or two members of the club and then take over their identity. But we know from the indictments that have been released that these groups use a tremendous amount of anonymity, of encryption. And the other obstacle for the police is that unlike in drug deals, say, where, say, a New York cop is allowed to sell a bit of coke in order to complete a deal and nail a bad guy, the authorities cannot trade in child abuse images, in child pornography.
Nor would they want to.
Very complicated.
Yeah, and nor would they want to. Julian Schur is an investigative journalist with the Globe and Mail in Canada, an author of Caught in the Web and Somebody's Daughter. We're talking about the Justice Department sting operation that was announced yesterday against a private child exploitation club called Dreamboard. David Finkelhor, there are two elements here. Julian already alluded to one of them, the cutting-edge encryption that these groups apparently were using. And it almost makes you wince to think that this investigation began in 2009. They couldn't get the arrests until 2011. That's 2 years of exploitation that had to go on under the nose of federal investigators on some level. What do you think of that, David?
Well, I'm impressed at what law enforcement's able to do these days. It illustrates both the sinister and the beneficial aspects of the Internet technology. On the one hand, you get congregations of child molesters and wannabe child molesters who are encouraging each other and maybe instructing each other in how to abuse kids. But on the other hand, that same aggregation allows police to bust much larger groups of bad guys than was possible before. And the interesting question is kind of who's winning in this technology race. We don't know for sure the answer, but at least in the United States, rates of child molestation have been coming down over the last 15 years. And so that's encouraging.
And that is encouraging. David Finkelhor is director of Crimes Against Children Research Center at the University of New Hampshire. Julian Schur, the nature of this dream board, which, it sounds as though David is saying it kind of got too big that it had to fail because it couldn't really conceal its activities anymore. But one feature of it was just members were encouraged to outdo the others without getting terribly explicit here. That is a formula for just extreme behavior, and that's what they discovered.
It is, and I think David is right that I think we're seeing, if not a tip in the balance, the fact that undercover police operations are scoring big successes. But the issue that you raised is important. You know, even the very word that was used in the headlines that we're forced to use, child porn, is a misnomer because it makes it sound as if it's like porn, naughty pictures. They just happen to be young kids. These are crime scene photos, right? These are child abuse images, and it's important that and it's a horror that the police understand, that these are real children who are being abused. In fact, what's interesting, according to the indictment, at least 15 of the members not only just possessed and distributed, but made these images. In other words, they were abusing children and taking pictures of it. So that's what's important that for people to understand. We're talking about real children out there.
Well, absolutely. Even if the numbers are declining, the internet does encourage more extreme behavior, even if the incidences are relatively small. So it's worth focusing on. Julian Scher is an investigative journalist with the Globe and Mail. I can't really ask you this question, Julian, so I'll go to David. Are the laws in the U.S. sufficient to exact punishment and to link individuals with individual, as Julian suggests, crime scene photos?
Yeah, I think our laws are in pretty good shape. This is an international ring, and laws in other places in the world aren't necessarily as up-to-date as ours. I did want to comment on one thing, though. I mean, sinister as this is, a key virtue of what's going on here is that some of these child molesters are being arrested at pretty early stages of their offending career and put out of commission because they're kind of joining on to try and figure this whole thing out.
That's an interesting point. And that is an element that the internet actually enables investigators to get people early.
That's right.
Then finally, before we go, are there tools here that possibly were revealed by the Justice Department in the announcement of this sting operation yesterday, David, that have broader application to internet crime, cyber attacks, monitoring illegal behavior of kinds other than the headline-grabbing child porn?
I think they're being pretty cagey in terms of what they reveal about their techniques. I'm not privy to all of what they do, but I'm very impressed at the sophistication of their operations and the success that they've had in recent years.
So in terms of cyber warfare against child exploiters, this would have to be a victory, David, yes?
I do. I see that, yep.
David Finkelhor is director of the Crimes Against Children Research Center at the University of New Hampshire. And also thanks to Julian Scher, investigative journalist with the Globe and Mail and author of Caught in the Web and Somebody's Daughter. Julian and David, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.